All right, let's talk this morning about decisions that cannot be delayed. Someone has said that life is the sum of all your choices. I think that's quite true. We are where we are. We do what we do, surrounded by certain people because of choices that we make. So again, as we talk about choices, I'm thinking about decisions and how some decisions are quite monumental and important. I heard recently the story of a man who made a decision to enlist in the military as a young man. The story goes as he tells it, he was in his car. The car was running. He was getting ready to back out the driveway, headed off to the recruiter's office to sign up for military service. As he was in the car, as he was just starting to back out of the driveway, his dad runs out the door and flags him down and said, "Don't leave just yet. There's an important phone call." So he got out of the car, went in and took the phone call. His pastor was on the other end. And his pastor had felt a real burden and a real leading to talk to this young man about a decision, to go to Bible college and to enter pastoral ministry. That was a moment of change, an important decision. Here he was on his way to the recruiter's office. Instead, life took on a different direction. He made a decision in that moment to go to Bible college, to enter the ministry. And so a very significant decision. We all make important decisions in a moment. Some of those decisions, once we make them, life will never be the same again. Other decisions and other choices are relatively inconsequential. You think about the choice you made this morning about what clothes to put on. That's probably not a real big deal. That's not a life and death decision. Or maybe what you decided to have for breakfast or what you're going to have for lunch. Those decisions may not be all that difficult and all that challenging. But nevertheless, decisions to make. We're constantly bombarded with decisions that we make, whether big decisions or little decisions. Decision-making in itself is a process that can be very paralyzing for some people. Some people have a lot of trouble making decisions, making choices. Someone has said that some persons are very decisive when it comes to avoiding decisions. And I think that's right. I can easily be one of those people. I can easily be paralyzed by decisions, weighing out the options, and then delaying and waiting on making a decision. Sometimes delayed decisions are made for us. If you decide to weigh out all your options and delay in making a choice, maybe the house or the car that you thought you would buy is no longer available. The choice has been made for you if you delay in that. Or the job offer is given to someone else instead of to you. And so in many cases, no decision is a no decision. I believe that you and I have a decision before us today. Very significant decision in this moment, this particular point in time. It is a personal decision that we must each one make. No one can make that decision for us. We cannot delay in making that decision. As I said, no decision is a no decision. So with that, Joshua 24 contains the information regarding a very important decision. Verse 1. We come to this final chapter of Joshua. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. A big gathering of all the people of Israel. Joshua has initiated this gathering. He's called all the people together. Joshua has been a mighty man of God. He has been a leader of the people of Israel ever since the death of Moses. He is now approximately 110 years old, near the end of his life. He stands one final time before the people of Israel. And on this occasion, as you look down into this chapter, we're not going to read all of it, but as you skim down through here, he recounts God's amazing works in their midst. And the interesting thing in what he has to say to the people of Israel this one final time, these are really not his own words, because these are the very words of Yahweh God. Because verse 2, as he recounts what God has done, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." There's a lot of weight to those words. This isn't just a 110-year-old man saying, "Here's how I remember it." He's standing before the people of Israel and says, these are the words of God. This is what your God says to you as I stand before you now this one final time. You look down in verses 2 to 4 as he summarizes what's gone on. He starts with Abraham, a very important place to begin. A man that we revere, a great man of faith. We call ourselves of the faith of Abraham, the Abrahamic faith. And so that's a good place for us to start as well. But he begins with Abraham, and God's working with this man of faith and his descendants, as he tells us in verses 2 to 4. He then goes on to talk about the time when the people of Israel are in captivity in Egypt. Verses 5 to 7, he talks about deliverance through Moses. Again, who Joshua knew firsthand. He was there. And so this is very personal history. He was all a part of that. He talks about the more recent events under his leadership, the conquest of the land of Canaan, the promised land that God had promised to his people, the crossing of the River Jordan. A few weeks ago, we looked at that passage in Joshua, how God miraculously dried up the river, much like the Red Sea, and how the people of Israel walked across on dry land on their way to the promised land. Also, the defeat of Jericho. We talked about that, a familiar Sunday school lesson. They didn't go and win the battle with weapons and so forth. They marched around the city faithfully as God instructed them. The walls fell. They conquered Jericho. And so he talks about those things in verses 8 to 12. And then verse 13, he summarizes the history. As he stands before the people, he says again, these are the words of God. God says, I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you have not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. And so the story that God through Joshua relays is, I've done all these things for you. I've been with you. I've delivered you. I've brought you into the promised land, and now you're enjoying the blessings of being in a land that you really did nothing for yourself concerning. You just simply kind of fell into this as I led you into it. You're eating the produce of the land. You didn't plant the vineyards and you didn't plant the crops, but you are enjoying the blessings of the land that I have now led you to. Based upon that past and that story and that heritage, verse 14, a very, very important verse. Now therefore, Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So the whole point again of this 110-year-old man before the people of Israel this final time, let's talk about what God has done. Let's use God's words to talk about it. And now a decision is to be made. Now therefore, here is what you do in response to what God has done. Fear the Lord. Revere God. Serve him with sincerity and truth, or serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Make a decision to put away those other gods that your fathers served before they came to know the one true God. Make a decision based upon these things that we know as we stand here on this occasion. And in verse 15, probably the most important and most memorable verse of all, many of us know this verse, Joshua says, if it is disagreeable to your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A time of decision has come. And Joshua said, let's be honest. You be honest before God. Decide right now, right here, whether it's disagreeable or not for you to serve this God who's done great things. Reflect back on what's been done. Think about all that's happened. Think about the journey so far. Think about that and decide right now whether it is disagreeable or not to serve God. But you need to make a decision in this moment. And he goes on to say, I've made up my mind. But as for me and my house, we decide right here and right now that we will serve the Lord. Again, the time has come to make a decision. On that occasion, the people also choose. They pledge they too will follow Yahweh God. Verses 16 to 18, the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. They sound pretty definite about their decision. They've made up their minds along with Joshua. We in this moment have decided we will serve that God who's done great things in our midst. But Joshua goes on in the next two verses to say, yeah, the decision you made is one you can't keep, however. Verses 19 and 20, Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done good to you. So kind of a solemn warning. Know who this God is that you serve. He's a jealous God. There's only room to serve Him and Him alone. And it's almost as though Joshua knows the direction they will go. They will not keep this decision. They will serve foreign gods. And so he reminds them of that. But still, verse 21, they choose to follow. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And so they reaffirm their commitment in that moment. And so then a covenant is made that day. A solemn agreement is made, and there is a stone that stands as a reminder of that promise. Verses 26 and 27, Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone, and he set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. A nice big rock under an oak tree that's, in a sense, heard everything that's been said. This is a reminder. This stands as a memorial of the agreement that you have made this day. I'm thinking in Joshua, what is it about stones? How many times have we talked about stones? You know, it's pretty prominent throughout these 24 chapters. Go back to the parting of the Jordan River. Remember that story where as they went across, they put a pile of stones in the middle of the river where the priest stood while the land was dry. They took out 12 stones. They get to the other side. Eventually they build another pile of stones, an altar, a memorial to remember how God had led them through the Red Sea. We also looked at the story of a man named Achan. This is not a real great memorial. But someone who sinned against God, the people of Israel defeated in a city called Ai. They stoned him and his family to death, and there's a big pile of stones there to remind him about the dangers of disobeying God. And now here at the end, there's a big stone under an oak tree to remind him, hey, you promised God you would serve Him with all of your heart. And so here's another reminder of a promise made of some things done between the people of Israel and God. So I just think it's significant. There's all these reminders and how I guess we need to have reminders too of promises made to God, of things God has done for us. We've talked about that in bygone weeks. But I come back and I think about these words of Joshua that especially ring in our ears today. This present tense application, looking back on God's work and how God has led, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. That is a timeless message that comes down to us. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Yesterday's choice is not today's decision. Today, a decision is required of each of us. In this very moment, we must make a decision. Last week, I wrote a devotional on this very passage out of Joshua. I don't usually like to quote myself. I prefer better authorities. But these words that I wrote in a devotional, I thought some of them I had to just bring in and share with you again, or share with you the first time if you didn't read these, concerning what we're looking at about making a decision today as Joshua speaks to us. Quote, I made a choice 38 years ago. After nearly 15 years of instruction and firsthand experience with my father and his son, a time for action came. I chose new life in Christ through baptism, and the straight and narrow path and gate through life. That pathway has had its ups and downs, but I'm still on it. And I've chosen today to continue. We've made our choices in the waters of baptism, at the marriage altar, and at the lending institution. But these one-time choices are also daily choices. We can walk away from the faith, our marriage, and our financial responsibilities. Or we can reaffirm those decisions today. The choice is there today to be made. No choice is a no choice, whereas decisive affirmation is a commitment to throw our entire selves into the choice, no matter how easy or difficult. And those were thoughts that occurred to me again as I read Joshua 24 a few days ago. We make big decisions in the past, but every single day we choose to make those decisions all over again. Again, concerning baptism, concerning marriage, concerning financial responsibilities. We sat down and made a big decision, but every day we walk that, we choose again concerning those decisions. That's the way it is in the Christian life. We choose every single moment what it is that we would do. I'm reminded of another Bible passage that also is much focused on daily choice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, a couple of verses probably very familiar to you. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That word present is a continuous tense word in the original language. So present and continue to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, your spiritual act of worship. Interesting, we have that choice every single moment to offer our lives upon the altar, to be a living sacrifice, or we can crawl off the altar. We can choose our own path, make our own decision, go our own way. We have those choices every single moment. I think about this present moment. I choose to stay. I choose to serve. I choose to worship. I cannot presume on tomorrow's decision. I pray to God that I'll be faithful and make that same decision. But in this moment, I choose to stay faithful. I choose to serve. I choose to reaffirm a decision to serve. I choose to worship, as each of you, I believe, have chosen as you've come into this place. We choose in this moment. And I just was so struck by the idea of the moment that we have and the decision to be made in the moment. An ongoing, continuous decision, one to be made in this moment. We cannot decide a moment from now. We already made a choice in the past, but in this moment we make a decision. I thought about a song written years ago by Bill Gaither about the priority of the moment. The words to the song go like this: "We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today." We do. As Joshua said to the people of Israel, reflect on your past. Think about what God has done, but in this moment, a decision is to be made. Walking that decision in this particular moment. The challenge is that we seize the moment, that we choose decisively, again, in this moment to say, "I choose God. I choose God because nothing else matters. I choose Him and His Son because that's what I want. I choose devotion. I choose to be a living sacrifice. I choose." And again, that choice is there in front of us. You have this moment. I have this moment to choose. May indeed we choose now with sincerity and faithfulness to choose the God who's done so much for each of us. As Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May that be our pledge as well. Let's pray.